So being able to add a bunch of good weight, and just get physically more athletic and stronger is going to help me.
Everyone, great to get from Ben Badler here. Another BA Hot Sheet show. A very busy Tuesday in baseball. We've got more playoff baseball going on, which I can't imagine you're not enjoying like we are. We're not going to dissect any balls thrown towards dugouts, balls thrown from fans or anything like that today, Ben. But we are going to dive into two teams that have kind of gotten to the postseason and are having a lot of postseason success the homegrown way in the Tigers and the Guardians. Got a great guest coming up. We're also going to talk Arizona Fall League. But we will start off talking Guardians, Tigers on First Move.
Meep, meep.
So, Ben, this is a playoff series, I would say, that we kind of envisioned coming, but I would give the Tigers credit. We had them as kind of one of our top farm systems, a farm system that's long been kind of one of the worst farm systems in baseball, but has really made strides. We picked them as kind of a surprise team this year, but I will say I'm still a little bit surprised by this. As you see, the Guardians have kind of been here pretty regularly, but as you look at this Tigers team, especially kind of starting off with them, are you surprised to see them here? And do you think how much staying power does the farm system, does the young talent give them to kind of make this a recurring playoff appearances instead of just a kind of a one and done?
Yeah, I'm surprised that they're here right now from where we were looking at them coming into the season. I thought there's a lot of good talent in the farm system. I thought they really added to it, obviously, last year with the draft. Some really good players in that draft, Max Clark, Kevin McGonigal. But I thought they were still maybe another year plus away from contention. But I mean, I know you were higher on their chances coming in than I was.
The thing that stood out to me kind of coming into there, and that was a great Sarah Lang's tweet that kind of pointed out just how young these two teams are, the youngest matchup we've seen for average age of lineup since 1914 in the postseason. But the thing that did stand out about this is this has been kind of a complete rework. Scott Harris came in, but we have AJ Hinch came in as manager. We have Chris Fetter, who I think has done an excellent job with the pitching staff. We've seen Ryan Garko come over from, multiple teams, but coming over from the Dodgers kind of background to take over as farm director. They brought in, they've reworked as far as scouting on the amateur side as well. There's just been a lot of kind of moving parts that have all come together here. And the thing that just jump out about this is I kind of do feel like this is maybe a little bit of a year early from where I expected to see this, but when you look at Riley Green, look at what Kerry Carpenter, obviously not just what he did yesterday, and I got a freezing cold taked on that because I happened to say some really good things about Emmanuel Clase right before he got crushed by Kerry Carpenter. But you look at Kerry Carpenter, you look at Riley Green, you look at the arrivals of the Colt Keefs and Justin Henry Malloys and players like that, obviously to go with the homegrown great pick in Tarik Skubal. You got Jackson Jobe coming. This is a team that, for the first time in a long time, is not just good, but good in a way that could have some sustainability to it. But kind of looking at it, the other thing that does stand out to me, Ben, is we kind of, there have been some misses along the way, which is a useful reminder that, these are not linear developments. We've seen the Casey Mize, battle injuries. We've seen kind of some of their pitchers kind of go up and down. Matt Manning hasn't kind of taken that step forward. But if you have enough of these prospects, the thing that does kind of jump out, at least to me, Ben, is that you kind of can overcome when some of these players don't reach the kind of the levels that you hope for because you have the numbers to make it work.
Yeah, I mean, if you thought they were going to have a breakout year this year, I think you probably thought, all right, well, Spencer Torkelson, maybe he'll take the next leap forward. Colt Keith can come up and, make a big impact right away and, those guys were okay, but that's not the reason why they are where they are right now. To your point, there's just a lot of, a lot of contributions from a lot of different avenues of players, even if all of them haven't kind of coalesced and taken that next step forward that we were expecting for some of their younger players.
That's the other thing that's really encouraging here. If you're a Tigers fan, is this is before the Max Clarks and Kevin McGonigals and Bryce Rainiers and all that, before they're even arriving. We've got more coming down the pipe because this is a team that that still has some very premium picks. Seeing we had Jaden Hamm on the show last week. They've seen players develop. And that kind of fits the same kind of MO that the Guardians have long had. The Guardians, if you look at why they're here, you would say that their pitching development, their scouting on the pitching side and their development on the pitching side has been top tier for years now. There's kind of been this knock on their hitting development and having kind of enough power in the lineup. They've kind of fixed that in some ways this year. This team is a little bit better offensively than we saw in the playoffs the last couple of years. But Ben, the other thing that does stand out with them as well is this is not just a young big league team, but I think you're pretty high on what their farm system still looks like as well.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, you know, you just look at what even just the talent that they brought in this year alone between the draft, obviously having the number one overall pick helps with that. But, you know, bringing in Travis Bazzano, bringing in a whole host of players beyond him, especially some really good young high school pitching. They had a really strong year, I think, internationally, a handful of really good prospects coming up through the Dominican Summer League. You know, you just go up and down the system, both internationally with players like Jason Churio, Angel Henao, and then domestically, guys like, you know, Chase DeLauder has been hurt, unfortunately, but it's still one of the top 100 prospects in baseball. Ralphie Velasquez, their first round pick in 2023 out of high school, really good season for himself. So I think as young as they are, there's still a lot of talent left in the farm system.
And one of those players is our guest today that you're happy to welcome in, Cooper Engle, who was our second team all MILB catcher this year, one of the breakout prospects in 2024. Season split between Lake County, High A Lake County, Double A Akron, hit 305 at the plate, also continues to make strides and really was instrumental kind of working with some great pitching staffs in success, both in Lake County, which made the playoffs, and Akron, which also made the playoffs. So Cooper, thank you for joining us. We had Jaden Hamm on last week, so we were asking him as a Tigers pitcher, what is it like to be kind of, a prospect watching during the playoffs. I got to ask you the same question. What is it like as a prospect in a system, in a farm system, when you're watching your team play in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy experience. Just being able to look at those guys that you're playing with every single day, maybe get that shot one day to be able to play in the big leagues with them, and to be able to do it in front of 30 plus thousand fans on a given night is something really special to look forward to.
But and by the way, as you're watching this, if you have questions for Cooper, feel free to put them in the chat as well, and we'll try to get some of those. But I wanted to kind of start off with you, Cooper. Like, you've kind of, I would say that your defensive progression is one of the things that really jumps out. You've always been known as a hitter, but like going back to your time at Clemson, your first year, you kind of caught a little bit. Second year, you caught and you played some outfield and you DH'd. Third year at Clemson, you're defensive MVP. I got to imagine as a catcher, that was kind of a cool development for you. Could you take us through kind of your work kind of to become that kind of that rock behind the plate in addition to a guy who can also hit 300?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to be an elite athlete at the catcher position. Usually catchers kind of get a bad rap of, not being the greatest athletes, or they're, slow movers. They're just like power bats. I kind of wanted to rewrite that a little bit. So throughout my career, I've, tried to obviously catch more and more. And being able to get into pro ball as, just a catcher only and not have to play other positions, I think has helped me focus on, the receiving, blocking, throwing aspects. And then the most important, being able to work with a pitching staff every day.
Hey, Coop, I mean, you came in your freshman year at Clemson and you didn't play a lot that freshman year. I think it was 10 games, 20 plate appearances. Obviously, Clemson had some other players at catcher that year, and then your sophomore year you take over and you're one of the best players in the ACC. But going back to your freshman year though, what was that like? What was it, was it hard for you to develop and get better when you're not playing that much? What was that freshman year like for you at the time?
Yeah, it was pretty tough mentally, because growing up you're playing every single game and you're the best player on your team, travel team, high school team, stuff like that. So it's tough to deal with mentally sitting there, not getting playing time, not knowing when you're going to be able to play. So it was a big step forward for me going into that sophomore year of, you know, I'm pretty undersized for, you know, this level compared to other guys at my position and even just on my team. So a big step in the weight room for me. I came back and gained, you know, a little over 25 pounds in those next 5 months. You know, tried to be a more complete player rather than just a hitter. But also I think the biggest thing was to learn how to get guys to how to lead guys in the right way in a locker room. Just to be able to create that close chemistry. And then, you know, regardless of, you know, if I was playing or not, like we were having a good time winning baseball games that year.
Cooper, you mentioned with the catching, I can't imagine a catcher being, you know, being a catcher at a time that has kind of had more change than what you've seen kind of catchers your age. Cause you know, you've gone from a time, you know, I think your freshman year, you were kind of more of a conventional setup. Now you're one knee. We've gone from a time where it was like, you know, putting down signs to pitch comms. You know, we've just had a lot of changes. Kind of, has it been for you? Like, I mean, as someone who's kind of gone through it, how is catching different now than it was, say, back when you were in high school?
Yeah, I mean, just currently, I have a lot of fun with it. Nowadays, I don't think I caught a single ball on 2 feet unless, you know, it's like Austin Peterson on the mound. And he like quick pitched me. But no, I think everything was based off one knee this year. And it's, you know, you get the rap of not being able to like block off of one knee. But it's something that, you know, as you're training in the off season and even throughout the season, it's something that you utilize every single day so that you can, you know, block and throw and catch all the same off of one knee, and just putting your body in certain positions to be able to do all three at the same time as well as you could if you were on 2 feet.
Kind of following up on that, like, is it something where now that you're doing it, like, does it feel, are there advantages to it to you as far as the setup, or is it just an adjustment? Or, you know, if you could kind of compare, like, you've done conventional, you've done one knee. We hear a lot of, you know, there's a lot of discussion obviously about this. We hear about this all the time, but as a catcher who's doing it, how is it different? What are the kind of advantages, disadvantages you see it?
Yeah, I mean, for me, all I saw were advantages in my receiving, blocking, and throwing. So at Clemson, I was primarily on 2 feet until my junior year. The receiving on the low strike was probably the biggest thing. Since I've been in pro ball, the high strike is more like prevalent being called. So you try to steal those strikes too. But that low strike, being on a knee, being able to, you know, get your hips lower in the ground was a huge step. And then, you know, just doing stuff off the machine, being able to see how far your body can move laterally off your right knee down or your left knee down. And for me, this year, right knee down, I could move laterally a lot further than left knee down. So with runners on base, I was able to get to those balls that, you know, usually you would think you could only get to on 2 feet. And then just being able to watch guys like, you know, Austin Hedges and Bo Naylor, you know, they're doing it at the highest level when it comes to throwing, and just watching, you know, how they set up their body with one knee down, moving into a good catch and throw.
If I could follow one more on that, like, it does seem like that your throwing this year is something that kind of, obviously pitchers are part of that as well, but throughout, you know, even in leagues where obviously the rules are now kind of encouraging stolen bases, but you threw out a pretty good percentage of base stealers this year. Is that something that's really kind of improved for you?
Yeah. I think a big thing for me this past off season was cleaning up my arm patterning. I've had, you know, a couple elbow and shoulder issues, like nothing surgery wise, but my arm patterning wasn't as efficient as it could be. So that was a big thing for me this off season, to be able to clean that up and, you know, increase some velo. I want to say last year my average velo was 76.5, and this year it was, you know, hovering right around 80, a little over. So just being able to, you know, incorporate that and clean up the arm pattern and just do it every day where, you know, you're playing 140 games definitely helps.
We got a question from a listener, Marvizzle 10, asks, what's Johnny Tincher like, Coop?
Yeah, I was with him pretty much every day in Lake County and at the complex. He's a great dude. He's a guy that brings great energy to the baseball field every single day. And always, you know, we love learning from each other, just being able to try to pick each other's brains to move up in the system together.
Cooper, the other thing I want to ask you is you talked about the pitching staff, but you got to catch some really good pitchers this year, some really fun ones to catch as well. I don't want to, you know, put you on the spot and say, who do you enjoy catching the most or anything, but I will ask you kind of like, because Tugboat Wilkinson is kind of a fascinating dude, had a great season, had one of the best seasons of the minors this year. What is it like catching Tugboat? And especially like, I would imagine that's one you talk to the hitters, I'm sure, as they come up. That's got to be one where there's guys just shaking their head, you know, in the fifth, sixth, seventh innings.
Yeah, Tugboat is, he's one of the funniest guys, first of all, that I've ever met off the field. But it's like, me and Tugboat will be warming up down the line pregame, and guys walk by, and I guess, you know, in that 5 minutes they're walking down to the field, they actually realize that they're facing Tugboat today, and they look at me and they're like, all right, well, here comes these invisibles again. But it's weird because, you know, he's not a guy that has like overpowering stuff. He's got, you know, a good slider and a good changeup, but, you know, it's like a 89 to 91 mile an hour fastball, but he throws it from a low slot and, you know, he believes in it and competes his butt off. And, you know, props to him. He had a really successful season.
You spent most of the year in high A Lake County, and then in August, you just got promoted to double A Akron for the last month of the season. What was the difference for you, I guess, either as a hitter or as a catcher in terms of the pitchers on your own team between what you saw in high A compared to when you got to double A?
Yeah, I think more so on the hitting side, it was the staffs that you would face had a lot better of a plan to attack your holes as well as pitch to their strengths. So like if they were going to attack you with something, they were going to attack you with it over and over if they could execute it against you. Whereas, you know, in Lake County, if a guy didn't have his, you know, secondary offerings, you could pretty much well sit on the fastball most of the time. And then on the catching side, it was just more in depth with your approach to attacking a lineup, and, you know, you're going to pick out two or three guys. And as you move up, that's going to be more like, you know, you get to the big leagues, you got nine guys in the lineup that you need to manage. But in double A, like the approach to, you know, a guy like Dylan Beavers for the Orioles, like there was more attention to detail on where we need to throw him and where, you know, we can get some swing and miss, and then, you know, where we need to completely stay away from.
So your first full season's now in the books as a pro. What is kind of the off season look like as you're kind of wrapping up the season? What did the Guardians kind of send you off, like your to-do list before, you know, I'm sure there are probably some off season camps as well, but your to-do list before next spring training?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is gain, you know, 10 to 15 pounds. You know, I think personally, like, you just have to look the part of a big leaguer. And I think gaining a lot of muscle mass, and, you know, I watched Jaden Hamm's interview the other day, and, you know, his biggest thing was talking about protein. And that was, you know, a huge thing for me going into this offseason. So being able to add a bunch of good weight, you know, and just get physically more athletic and stronger is going to help me impact the baseball and, you know, throw harder and keep that extra weight on throughout a season.
So what does your menu look like to do that? Like, what is your, like, I mean, are you talking about like that you've got, you know, is it protein shakes or is it, I get to eat five meals a day, or how do you kind of put on good weight in the off season?
Yeah, luckily the off season for us is a good while, so you can kind of build that up until the season. So I've got some time, but, you know, a lot of steak, a lot of chicken, a lot of salmon, a lot of protein shakes built in, and you know, a lot of lifting.
So we did also want to make sure that we asked you, like, you come from the Western North Carolina area, which I'm on the eastern side, but we obviously got spared. But your side did not. How's the family, everything come through, you know, with the hurricane, everything come through okay?
Yeah, family's good. I actually got to go back to Asheville yesterday. I'm in Clemson right now. Yeah, it's kind of a rough time there right now. It's you know, it's not really a place that typically gets hit by these natural disasters. So a lot of people in the city, you know, weren't prepared for it. But I think, you know, the city itself has done a good job of rallying together and, you know, trying to come up with solutions to, you know, get water and power and, you know, energy sources and clothes to people. And then, you know, if, you know, anyone watching this wants to, you know, donate or help the cause at all, I have a link in my Instagram bio to be able to do that with the American Red Cross.
What is your Instagram handle so we make sure that, you know, we send people there?
Yeah, it's just THE and then Cooper Engel.
But, well, thank you, Cooper, for joining us. We appreciate the time. We wish you, you know, a great offseason. And again, obviously the best to not just your family, but everyone in Western North Carolina and everyone else affected. And obviously, as we're talking about this, we hope everyone family in Florida, you know, hope everyone's safe as we have another hurricane bearing down. But thank you for the time. And obviously we're neutral here, but good luck, Cooper, to you and the Guardians as the postseason continues. But thank you for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you, Cooper. So we want to, as we kind of, you know, kind of transition off of that. The other key thing that's happened, we know everyone's probably watching the playoffs, but if you're watching the Hot Sheet Show, you probably are also well aware that the Arizona Fall League started yesterday. Jeff Ponce from our staff is out there. Josh Norris is heading out there before long as well. Some of the best prospect watching you can have, all going on in October, all around the Phoenix area. And the thing that kind of does jump out with this, Ben, as we look at this AFL, I feel like that we've kind of seen a little bit of an uptick again here. The criticism of the AFL, if there is one, has often been like that the rosters, it's sometimes comes and goes a little bit, especially on the pitching side. This year, most notably, we just had Andrew Painter added yesterday to the rosters. We're seeing some arms out here in addition to what I would say is the most top 100 prospects that we've seen in the AFL in several years. Kind of what jumps out about you as you get looking, you know, forward to a month here of AFL play?
Yeah, I think the pitching still is not great. I don't think it's ever going to be great. I mean, like you said, Andrew Painter out for the entire year with Tommy John surgery. Okay, he's an exception. They want to get him innings back. There used to be a lot of scouts behind the plate when he throws because he's clearly the best pitching prospect in that league. But yeah, there are a lot of very young, exciting position prospects in that league. The Padres sent Leo Dallas DeVries there. I mean, he played all season as a 17-year-old in low A this year. The number one international prospect so far has lived up to all the hype on him. So very advanced, very polished switch hitter. He's there. Oh yeah, the second youngest player in the league is also a San Diego Padre, Ethan Salas, who, I mean, had he stayed in Florida this instead of signing as an international free agent out of Venezuela, I believe this would be he'd be in his high school senior year right now. So like, yeah, I know he didn't have the greatest slash line this year, but this is still a very, very talented player. But you know, you look up and down, I mean, Bryce Eldridge with the Giants, the Mariners sending Colt Emerson, Cole Young. There's just a ton of really exciting young talent in the Fall League this year, especially on the position player side.
The other thing that jumps out to me is we also are seeing, you know, guys like Jack Caglione who are there. Like we're seeing, I think that some teams also view this, I think rightfully, as kind of an opportunity. If you take a college, especially a college bat, not really a college arm, but a college bat high in the draft, the AFL can kind of help kind of speed up that timetable. We do see, I would say, a little bit more compressed timetables with a lot of these guys. Obviously, Wyatt Langford jumping to the big leagues for pretty much for opening day this year was an example. This year, Paul Skeens goes from the draft last year to the front of the Pirates rotation in just a few months. But we're seeing, I think we're going to see more of that with the AFL now, that you have kind of this almost semi-natural progression with the later draft, meaning that you get to the end of the regular minor league season and these draftees aren't necessarily the same level of, oh, they've gotten 200 at-bats, they've gotten 150 at-bats, it's time to shut them down. some of these cases, it's kind of more of a natural progression of saying, hey, let's get him some AFL at-bats, which, yeah, the pitching is a little hit or miss. Some teams are sending more org arms, but you will see some talent out there on the pitching side as well. It kind of means that if you do well in the AFL, then maybe you kind of are a little bit more ready to jump that next level at the start of spring training the next year. The other thing that does stand out, and we have a piece up at Baseball America about this right now, it also is kind of that chance to do a little bit of Rule 5 evaluation, because there are a lot of prospects out there who are potentially Rule 5 eligible. You're going to see players who play their way onto 40-man rosters. But the other thing that I've seen a little bit less of this year, but I still think you're going to see some of, is, Ben, is you do see also this is a chance to kind of – you get like kind of – you can maybe try a different position, or you can also – what's interesting is this is where you also see a little bit of blending of coaching styles and all. Not that they're gonna rework, you're gonna have a pitching coach out there rework a delivery for a top, you know, or a swing or something like that. But it is different voices out there, because the coaching staffs are also kind of taken from all these different organizations as well.
Yeah, I mean, you never know when a new voice is gonna just say something in a different way that might click, or not even just coaching staffs, but playing with, you know, you're a pitcher and you're just playing catch with somebody in another organization and you're toying around with different grips. And hey, have you ever tried gripping the ball this way with your slider? Or have you ever tried this type of cue when you're throwing your changeup? So little things like that. Yeah, just mixing and matching different coaches, different players from other organizations who are, you know, pretty high level prospects. Most of these guys are, you know, have double A experience or higher, or for the guys who aren't, you know, I think it's really exciting to see the younger players in this league, like, you know, like a Zaire Hope with the Dodgers, who's only played in low A. He's going to face a lot of guys who are, you know, have experience in double A, triple A, even some guys who have big league time there. So I think it's valuable for those guys to get that experience, gets the upper level players as well.
We do want to, you know, also we got one AFL question here, so I want to answer that, which is which one of the Angels prospects in the AFL do you think will perform well? I'm going to kind of answer that. Like, I did call up the roster here because I wanted to make sure that I didn't miss any Angels prospect. The one I'm kind of interested to see is Cole Fontenelle, infielder, who missed most of the year. Again, we're talking about that's one of the things the AFL does, is kind of give Andrew Painter's a perfect example of this, but give players, Colt Emerson's another example, give players a chance to make up for lost at-bats, lost innings. And Fontenelle's an example of that for the Angels, who's going to get a chance to do that. I guess I could kind of loop Sam Bachman into that as well. Obviously, a premium pick of the Angels a few years ago has kind of had some durability issues. You know, stuff's kind of been a little bit up and down. I think those are two guys that I'm very much on the Angels side that I would absolutely kind of pay attention to watch and see how the AFL does for them. Because, again, they're trying to make up for some lost time. And that's one of the things that the AFL can be very useful for. So we thank you for joining us on this Baseball America Hot Sheet Show. Like and subscribe if you're watching this on YouTube. That always helps. You know, leave your comments. That always helps us on that. And by the way, if you're listening to this later on the podcast, thank you for the subscription there. If you want to, we always appreciate positive reviews on whatever your favorite podcast feed is, because that also helps more people to find the channel and to get to enjoy all this content. Thanks again to Cooper Engel. Ben, thank you for joining us. We will send you off as you are probably going to do what we are going to do, which is we got more baseball tonight, more playoff baseball. We hope the games today are as good as they've been the first few days of the LDS. Thank you, everybody.